Hello, friends, and welcome to this special episode of the Homecoming Podcast. My name is Sarah Nelson. I'm a certified yoga therapist working mostly online with folks experiencing pain, anxiety, overwhelm, and burnout. This podcast and my work is all about helping people come back home to their true selves, finding that sense of connection and belonging in their bodies, minds, and spirits. Today's guest is Nadia Colburn. Nadia is the author of the poetry books, I Say the Sky and The High Shelf. And her poetry and prose have appeared in more than 80 publications, including The New Yorker, American Poetry Review, The Kenyon Review, Spirituality and Health, Lion's Roar, and the Yale Review. She holds a PhD in English from Columbia University, is a yoga teacher and serious student of Thich Nhat Hanh, and is the founder of Align Your Story Writing School, which brings traditional literary and creative writing studies together with mindfulness, embodied practices, and social and environmental engagement. The school currently has a community of over 30,000 mindful writers. Nadia lives in Cambridge, Massachusetts with her husband and two children. You can find her at nadiacolburn.com, where she offers meditations and free resources for writers. As always, this podcast is for information and entertainment and does not substitute for medical advice. Hello, Nadia. Welcome.
Sarah, I'm so glad to be here with you.
It's great to have you. Let's just jump in to the conversation. So as we're recording this, it is the beginning of spring. We just had Easter last weekend. And I just finished reading your newest poetry book, I Say the Sky. And all of this has got me thinking of alchemy, like transformation. So how we can transform our experiences into art, our trauma into healing. And I just wanted to invite you to talk a little bit about the process of writing your book and if those themes kind of work in, which I know they do.
Thank you so much. I think that I wrote the poems in I Say the Sky primarily, I know I wrote them really for myself, and a lot of the poems come from questions. And I think the ultimate question two questions. One is, can I be big enough to hold both the suffering, my own individual suffering, but also the world suffering, and also the incredible capacity for joy and wonder and love and connection? And in that question then was the other question. So, okay, I believe that even in asking that question, the answer is going to be yes, right? Because sometimes just posing the question means like, okay, yes, that's possible. Then how do I get there? How do I do that? And that itself is kind of a process of transformation and of regrowth and rebirth and rooting down and stretching up. And the poems were kind of my own meditations on how do I do this? and writing through that question.
I love that you were writing the poems for yourself. And that there's a vulnerability there. And then is it hard to then share that with the world?
I think time is really helpful. I mean, these poems, when I first wrote them, I was kind of actually coming out of a kind of healing crisis, a little bit after that kind of crisis period where I was just writing. I had been a writer previously, kind of thought of myself as a professional writer, and then had to do a lot of personal healing from childhood trauma, and I was raising my kids, and I was just like, there are only so many things I can have on my plate. I have to prioritize just staying going. And I just kind of put my writing aside. And also I had this kind of idea of being a front-facing poet and writer where I'd be sharing my work. And I just was up against things that I could hardly share with myself, let alone with everyone else. So it was like, I'm writing in a locked part of my computer, just a process. And it, hey, took no form. It wasn't a poem. It wasn't prose. It was just like blah, 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 blah. That was the beginning. And then over time, kind of, I was feeling better. I'd done a lot of healing. And then I came back to writing. But when I wrote these poems, they were very explicitly poems. I think there's a difference between writing kind of in a journal, which is great also, but you're not so much worried about the form, whereas then thinking about form again, thinking about kind of creating something that's crafted because that form itself has some, is itself a kind of container and itself part of a transformation towards wholeness and beauty, basically. So I was writing in form, but I wasn't imagining sharing it with anyone. And then enough time passed that I kind of went, I have all these poems. What are they? You know? And they're poems, and they actually want to have their own life. So I think enough time has passed since I've written them, but also they get to have their own life separate from me now. Like, that was one relationship that I had with them when I was first writing them, and now another relationship. Or here, if this is helpful to you, I want to share this work, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. It does sound, I have not raised kids myself, but it sounds a little like raising kids. And then eventually you have to let them have their own life.
Yeah. And my kids are now, I'm an empty nester. This is the first year. My kids are now both in college. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like that, you know, this super intimate relationship that's always intimate, right? It's always going to be that intimate relationship, but also like go out into the world. And and then also a new relationship with myself, with my own life at this new stage in my life, saying, okay, let me just kind of detach my ego from the whole process and just put this out there.
Yeah. Thank you. I find that so interesting. I really appreciate what you're saying about the process of how, you didn't sit down to write a poetry book. You sat down to get some stuff off your chest without form. Then it took form. I'm curious, about how long that process took.
Yeah.
How long ago did you start?
Well, I mean, the kind of original process I was talking about of just being in that healing crisis, that was many years ago, 15 years ago now. But I think I started to write some of the poems. Well, I have a little secret about this book also. But the poems that kind of make the core of the book, I can't really see it in my light, but the core of the book, I would say I started to write around maybe 8 years ago. And so then at a certain point, then I realized, oh, I have all these poems. Do they want to have a life outside of my, you know, scribbling in my journal? And that's when I went back and I had many, many more poems that are in the book. And what are they saying to me first? You know, how do they want to be come together? And then that was both a process of listening to what's the message in the poems? How do they fit together? And how can that be a teaching process for me also to go back over my own work? But then also in terms of craft, like how do I sculpt this into a book that other people might enjoy? And that took a long time also to get the order of the book right. And it went through a lot of different iterations. And in that process, I also, you know, called a lot of the poems. So I narrowed it down to just my favorite. I also had a lot of poems that were doing the same thing. So I didn't want it to be too repetitive. And then had a manuscript. I felt like I had a finished manuscript. And then at the very end, I had this idea that I could go back to really old poems and just take a few of them and insert them in the manuscript in different places. So I did that and I'm really happy I did. And no one can tell which are the old poems and which aren't, which is also kind of cool. But it felt to me like integrating myself through different parts of my life in this book.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. It feels to me like the whole process, start to finish, had like a healing aspect to it. Yeah.
Yeah, including that process of just letting them go, you know? Like here I am talking about them, but I'm talking about my relationship to the poems, but also just the poems as themselves, you know? That I think for many writers, there's that kind of fraught relationship with our work. But also I think for many people in general, like seeing oneself and our relationship to our own story. And especially if we have trauma, that relationship to that trauma story, just kind of owning it, both having it take place on the page and also stepping away from it and saying, here it is, you know, and not feeling so emotionally involved in it in the same way. Which is also, you know, a little bit what we do in yoga, right? Like letting things move through us on the mat so that we can have a little bit of space away from it. Through that processing.
And that leads me right in. Thank you to my next question. So you are a yoga and mindfulness, both practitioner and teacher. And I'm curious to hear how that informs your poetry and your writing.
Yeah, I think it informs kind of everything that I do. So of course it
Right.
informs my poetry. And I think you know, a kind of again, it's like a both self and non-self, right? This is both self, but it's also the self is multiple, and there's non-self, and there's that kind of like witnessing self, and there's the non-reactive self. And so having those kind of different levels of awareness and attention, both to what's happening in the mind, but also in the body. And then through the practices opening up, I really feel a strong kind of energetic channel through that kind of central nervous system, the spinal cord. And I'm also trained as a Kundalini yoga teacher, so we talk a lot about that central channel of energy. I'm not just talk about, but practice with the central channel of energy. And so I think that kind of it's been a practice of opening that energy channel. And then my poems, my earlier poems tended to be much more taught, you know, like little intricate, tense kind of structures. I was trying to make them beautiful, but they were condensed. Whereas I really wanted in these poems to have a sense of spaciousness and opening. And I think that comes from the spaciousness and opening that I've been able to feel in my body through meditation and yoga.
Thank you. So I oftentimes, in the classes I teach yoga or rest practices, I'll share poetry, and I've had feedback that, it's the only exposure, to poetry that these students are getting as adults. I feel like we're exposed to it in school, and then you're either continue to be drawn to it or not. But that said, the people who have commented on that really, really appreciate the poems that I share and having that integrated. And I'm wondering if you could speak to how poetry can kind of build bridges.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And the state of poetry in America is really interesting, mysterious. So maybe before just talking about the state of poetry in America, which is maybe a little bit less interesting than the potential that I think poetry has to build those bridges. And I think that poets work with language so that we can, in a short space, say something that's very layered and has a lot of weight. So there's both the kind of openness I'm looking for, but also a kind of weightiness. And my hope is that, you know, you can read the poem and hear it and understand it, but then read it again and have a new level of understanding. I think that's what really interesting poems are doing. And so, you know, it's short, so you can read it in a yoga class, but the layers kind of filter through someone. And there's that kind of emotional intensity that's both, they're very personal, but it's related to what we were talking about before. I'm writing from my personal experiences, but then translating it into something that other people, I hope, can relate to, and it touches other people. Whatever their life experiences are, the core kind of emotional vocabulary that we have as humans is shared. And so touching into those deep emotional experiences that a poem can do, and I think that's really a gift. And I feel like a lot of the poetry that I like to share and others like to share has a, in yoga classes, has a little bit of a spiritual component. You know, there's also that bridge between the personal, the universal, the personal, the spiritual, self and other. So it's a beautiful form.
Yes, and I think that there's something about that combination of, of yoga and poetry that like as you're saying, like we're also a little more receptive because of that the opening.
Yeah, I love it when teachers read poems in class. And I teach with, I bring yoga into my teaching often. And then I'll invite people. I will do some, yoga asanas and then invite people to pause and to write and to really notice how the writing shifts after doing one exercise or another after exercise. We're able to write not only from the mind, but also really allow the body to speak and access different parts of who we are and different memories and different emotional experiences by kind of opening up to the body's experiences.
Thank you. So when we were chatting about having this talk, sharing this talk, you reminded me that April is Earth Month. And I think it's safe to say you and I share both a deep love for the earth and a deep concern for the future of the planet. And so can you talk a bit about the relationship between personal trauma and ecological trauma, and the interaction of healing with both of those.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question because that's really core to the book, to these experiences that I'm writing about. And I'm writing about myself, but I'm also writing about looking around and looking at the earth and looking at what humans do to other humans as well, and like levels of injustice and how do we make sense of it? And I think that, just this could be like such a long conversation. But I think that the general, just as I was talking about, there's certain energetic and emotional kind of vocabularies and patterns that we all have. I think that emotional and energetic pattern to be grasping, to be violent, to be disrespectful of what's around us and think that we can just kind of take it. I think, that same energy, which is a cultural energy and which is passed on often through trauma, leads to the systems that create people hurting other individuals and to the systems that create countries hurting other individuals in other countries and groups of people within, our human family, and also treating the earth as if we don't have. We've forgotten the general basic respect for the kind of sanctity of all beings, including rocks and minerals and water and air, without which we would not exist. So it's generally like this idea of self and other doesn't even make sense. Because how am I other than the water? And we know this, right, from our yoga practice. We listen to our body. We know this from our meditation practice. And I think poets also, poetry is about relationship. So all of these practices to me bring me to this just place of recognition of relationship, interbeing, to use the term that Thich Nhat Hanh uses.
Thanks. So, final question, and then we'll do a little poem meditation writing prompt. I'm finding, and it's a combination, I think, of getting older and of my own practices, spiritual yoga practices, that, it's getting easier for me to speak up, to use my voice, to feel more grounded, speaking from a more grounded place. But I know that's not the case for everyone. And especially, I feel like what I'm seeing is, and I think it doesn't matter like which side of the political spectrum you're on, there's this fear of saying the wrong thing, of making a mistake in what you say, what a person says, and receiving backlash. And so just like more of a fear of speaking out. And so my question to you is, do you have suggestions on how we can learn to trust ourselves and to trust that voice and speak more confidently with that?
Sarah, your questions are so great. I'm just really grateful to them. And I love the way there's this progression to the questions. And in response to my previous question, I was like, oh, wait, well, I want to say something else. And then this question answers, invites that. So I think that's really like, right, we understand perhaps a connection between things, but then what do we do? And I think part of that, how we can build bridges is to get comfortable enough with ourselves, with what we know, to stand behind it. And I think that's been a little bit the process of my own poetic journey. You asked me, so is that weird? These are really personal poems. How do you put them out there? And I think, and in my case also, there was a lot of tension in my family of origin around my trauma story and could I share it or could I not? And at a certain point to be like, you know what? This is mine and it's also not mine. Like, here it is. And people might not like that. And the shame around it, the fear of being wrong. But then there's some other understanding of I know enough. And I think I'm really inspired by Thich Nhat Hanh too. He's a really important teacher to me. For those of you who don't know or don't remember, he's a Vietnamese monk and he was a peace activist in the Vietnam War, and he was advocating for the war to stop because he saw the innocent civilians on both sides who were being killed. And both sides basically thought he was a traitor and he was exiled from Vietnam because of his peace work. And so I think sometimes we can think, well, if I am peaceful, that means everyone will like me. That's actually not how it works, right? But if you're clearing yourself, people probably won't agree with you. But then to have the practice of that, and I think this is where meditation and yoga really help us get clear in ourselves, and teachers and community of people that you trust and respect to say, this is what's right for me. And being silent around it actually saps my energy. Makes me smaller. It makes me anxious. I'm going to just be here, like just the way I'm going to open my body and allow myself to receive this practice and to work through the things that are difficult and to receive the Shavasana. I'm going to stand behind what I believe in. And I think that creative energy too, to stand behind our creative voice, to develop it. To develop the root chakras, which is where the creativity lives, and to say, there's some fire here too. Warrior pose, right? Like, because these are really wild times we're living in. I mean, literally, it's become standard now to be like, well, so that our planet survives, so that humanity can survive. These are big issues, and if we don't act, if we don't speak, if we don't do something, who is going to? So my hope is that, in writing poems, it's doing these practices, they fortify us, and I know you feel the same way. They fortify us, but then they also encourage us to take other actions, to take, to get involved in issues we care about, to vote, whatever you believe is right for you, but to vote, to and I vote for the planet, so but to just to get involved. Collective action leads to individual action leads to collective action, and then vice versa.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you happen to have an online program that helps people find their voice?
I do. So I have a lot of different programs. I think maybe the easiest one to start with is my meditation and writing practice. It's a 5-day meditation and writing challenge, and that really opens the creative energy. I have a lot of other resources on my free resource page. I have classes, but I would say if you're looking to start, I would start with this meditation and writing practice. I offer a 15-minute meditation. I'm sorry, a 15-minute recording. 5 days. Each day is a different recording, and it's a short guided meditation, a poem, a prompt. You don't need to be a poet to enjoy it, and then time to write. And it really helps bring together that meditative energy with that creative energy. And so that bridge between the inner and the outer, the receptive and the creative that we're talking about, the self and the other, that's part of this practice where we're receiving and we're creating. And people have incredible creative breakthroughs doing the practice. So I'd love to share that for free.
Cool. I will link to that. I'll link to your book. And I will just say, I know you all agree with me. I think when we're kids, we oftentimes, you know, writing is just part of what we do. And as we get older, I feel like it becomes like, well, you're either a writer or you're not. And of course, like anyone can write, and the benefits I feel of it are just, it's just another way to kind of realize what's going on inside of me. I don't know. I encourage people, even if they don't think they're writers, to check it out.
Thank you. I'm really glad you said that, because that's right. We are language using animals. And before this kind of like very hierarchical cultural system that we live in, we would sit around the fire at night and share stories. Yeah. We would sing, we would make up songs, we would dance. We are artistic animals. And so all of us, I really think, can be writers. And there's a part of our energy that's kind of restricted if we're not letting that creativity out.
Yeah, agree. Thank you. Well, I would love to invite you to share a poem from your book and maybe a meditation and prompt for us.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Maybe what I'll do is, why don't I do a little meditation and then read a poem and give a prompt? How does that sound?
I love it.
Okay. So I'll do it a little bit more on the shorter side. Just get a taste. I like to have my singing bowl, so I'm going to invite the bowl. Take a nice long, deep breath. Maybe bring your hand to your heart. Let the bowl be an invitation back to yourself, bringing mind and body together, breathing down into the belly, this moment is for you, exactly as you are, without judgment, allowing yourself to just notice. I'm going to ring the bowl again and invite you to just follow your breath. This poem from my book, I Say the Sky, is about coming to encounter the self. And the first line runs into the poem. The title runs into the poem. Rain pours off the eaves of the house onto the concrete. And finally, I open my throat. World, I say, of floods and droughts, world of the red heart, of the heart of pink beneath the clouds, of the tender-hearted, of the clenched-hearted, of the troubled, somersaulted, suspended-hearted. Someone is coming to meet me. The table is set. And I am coming down the stairs to open the door, dressed in blue jeans and a wool sweater with holes. And I am knocking outside, standing on the stoop. I think I am ready to open my arms, right here in my own house, to receive myself, to receive the sacred of this particular human form on this wet day in November, the last of the leaves ready to drop. Rust, blood, brown. And I'd like to give you a few words that you can incorporate into your writing, and you can use all or none of them. So flood, throat, suspend, blue jeans, house, and receive. Throat, flood, suspend, blue jeans, house, and receive. And my invitation to you is to write something in any genre you want where you are meeting yourself. And you can use all of those words or none of them, or just try to see what emerges. It becomes a little bit more playful if you try to use those words.
Thank you,
and
Nadia.
As you're writing, I also like to remind you to stay connected to your body.
Well, I am actually absolutely going to try that practice. I love that. I love the words and the, did you say greeting yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Greeting. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. It's really interesting how having those kind of new words that you wouldn't normally do makes you go down slightly different pathways and encounter new things. And there's often a kind of interesting synergy.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, whether a person is writing a lot or not, but especially for people who maybe think they're not writers, it can be so helpful to have those prompts of like, whoa, wow, I hadn't, oh, I'm going to put blue jeans in this.
Exactly.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah. Oh, thank you. And that feels, it's just a little taste of what you're, with the free 5-day challenges. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. I actually have two challenges. So one is a 5-day challenge where I use other people's poetry and that's free. And then I have another one that's also free, but they're all from poems from this,
oh, the High Shelf.
And that if you buy this book, if you like it, and you come over to my website on the book page, you can sign up just with your order number. And then I have a 7-day challenge with 7 totally different recordings, and they're from poems from the book. So they kind of walk you through an experience using the book as the prompt.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh.
And as I said, I'll link to your website and your book and all the good stuff. Nadia, thank you so much for being with me today.
It's such an honor, Sarah. I love what you're doing. And, you know, speaking of building bridges, here we are together. So, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.